Sunday. This is BK Jones. I am thrilled to be partnering with BPN Radio and Pastor Dale Gentry for Preaching Sundays every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Let's go to the message. Matthew 11, 28 and 30, if you want to turn there with me. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart.'" How many of you think of God and Jesus, the Holy Trinity, three in one? How many of you think of, were raised that Jesus was somebody that was humble and gentle at heart? So many times we're given a picture that he's a hard taskmaster, but he's describing himself. Jesus said, "Let me teach you, because I'm humble and I'm gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Jesus was offering rest to his people. He was offering them a different way of life. Here he is dealing with the religious people of the day, and religion will always keep you like a dog chasing its tail. You can never quite get there, and you'll just be running around, trying to please God. When if you're just loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself, you'll find rest in him. You'll find that the rules aren't the main thing. If the rules are the main thing in your life, then you're not resting in his grace and in his mercy. That's not permission to go out and sin and do whatever you want to, but you don't even want to do that when you're found resting in him, when you come to him with all the heavy burdens that religion, that the world, that all the demands on your life will just weigh you down. But Jesus is offering them a different way in this passage of scripture. He's inviting them out of the striving mode into a restful way of living. Did you hear him say, "My burden is easy, and what I'm going to give you is going to be light to carry. It's not going to be heavy." So he's calling them out of the striving mode, which means I'm carrying everything on my shoulders. How many of you are good at that? I'm super good at that. Just taking on everybody's burdens and putting them in my backpack and just worrying about this and worrying about that and becoming so bogged down. And that was never the way Jesus intended us to live. He's saying, "I'm gentle and I'm loving and I'm kind and I'm inviting you to a better way of living," because the religion of this day has caused you to think that God is a hard taskmaster, but that's not the fact. The fact is that he's gentle and that he's loving and that he's kind. And scripture talks about his mercy endures forever. He's always there to give you a hand up and not push you back down into poverty and into slavery, but to give you a hand up. And religion was robbing people of a relationship with God because they had to try to get good enough to go into the presence of God. The presence of God was only housed in a few places in the temple of God. And so they had to go through all these religious rituals to even go in. And the poor priest, they just sent him in, put some bells on the bottom of his robe in case he wasn't good enough either. You know, the guy's dedicated his life to serving God, yet they know he may not be good enough either. So we'll send him on in to the presence of God. And if the bells stop ringing, we'll, you know, get a pole and try to pull him out so none of the rest of us will get killed. That was an awful way to live. But Jesus said, "I've come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. I've come to give you a better way of thinking. I'm going to go die on the cross so that you can live lighter, so that you can live freer." And you know, if you meet people that spend time in the presence of Jesus, they're not stressed out and worried. There's a peace about them. There's a knowing about them. There's a rest about them. And I think so many times I have, and maybe many of you have, given people the wrong idea about serving Jesus because we've never come to that rest. We're not coming to him enough. We're doing so much for him, but we're not coming to him enough. So Jesus invites us out of the striving mode, which means I'm carrying everything on my shoulders, to the rest mode, which means, "God, I'm allowing you to carry my responsibilities on your shoulder, and you can dish them over to me in the amount that I can handle them. I'm going to give you everything, God, and what you think that I need to do, then you show me what I need to do." June Evans, I remember years ago when I first met her, she said this, and it just baffled me. She said, "I wake up in the morning and I say, 'God, what do you want me to do today?' And if he doesn't tell me anything, I go get in my easy chair and I just pray and spend time with him. If he tells me to go do something, I do. But if he doesn't, I just rest." And I thought, how would you do that? You know, I was a mother of toddlers at the time, and I was thinking, how in the world? Sure, God expects you to do things. Sure, there are things to do. But there's a way that when we come to Him and we learn to rest in Him and give Him our burdens, that we do the things that we need to do with ease. Jesus was offering them a better way, a lighter baggage, a clearer way of thinking, trading religion for a relationship, and untangling all the things that hold us down. That's why He came. Rest involves a real belief in God, so real that you could almost touch it and taste it. That kind of belief is the seed of trust. The secret to resting in God is truly trusting Him, truly believing that He's got you and that He's going to take care of you. We get worried when we think he doesn't love us, or He doesn't like us, or I haven't done enough for Him to take care of me in the middle of my problems. And so we get anxious and we start just overworking ourselves, and we rob ourselves of that time in His presence. But I say it almost every time I preach, in Matthew 6:33 says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything else is going to be added to you. One of the most beautiful examples of rest that I've seen lately is my little neighbor's 7-year-old daughter has been diagnosed with brain cancer, and according to man's analysis, she only has maybe a couple more days to live. That mama, like any mother would, and the dad too, they ran everywhere and got all the answers they could. But then there was a point when they just ceased the struggle and realized from the diagnosis. And I mean, they did exactly what any good parent would do. They sought out the help that they needed. But there came a point when my friend decided, I just got to rest in You, God. This is too big for me. And I noticed a fresh peace just came over her. When the doctor said, there's no more trials, there's no more help for your daughter, it's just rest. It's just stop everything that you're doing and run. And of course, in our humanness, we always want, you know, are hoping for one more answer. But she found that place, and I've watched her going about her day and doing everything that every good mother should do. She's got a career. She has 3 kids, and I've watched her just cease striving. I've watched her just stop all the busyness and all the anxiousness that's going on around her that could have destroyed her, that could have caused her just to explode inside. And I've watched her nestle into Jesus in a way that I've never seen many people be able to do it in such a crisis. And I've watched her get a hold of God in a most incredible way and just find that peace. That God, we want You to heal her. We want a miracle this side of heaven. But Your ways are miraculous anyway. Your thoughts are higher than ours. So God, I'm just nestling into You here with this baby. She's been sitting holding that baby, that 7-year-old baby girl, for a couple months now, I think at least, just snuggled up to her and enjoying every minute and speaking the life of God and the provision of God and the health of God. But more than that, she's been speaking the peace of God, that Kaylee, Jesus is in control here, so you can rest in His presence. A few weeks ago, she invited Allison and I just to come hang out with them. And there was such a beautiful presence of Jesus in that house. I remember telling Allison, I said, did you feel that? Did you feel God's presence in there so strong? It was like you could cut it with a knife. And in the midst of what could keep you striving and struggling, she chose the thing that was more important. And that was to get in and rest in the provision and the peace of God. What she's saying by that rest to the world, now I heard their story has gone around the world. What she's saying in that rest to the world is it's not all about this world. It's not all about the life that you see. It's about being in His presence. It's about my child's been given to Him. It's about that He loves Kaylee more than I love Kaylee, and I have to trust Him with that. So it's just been such a beautiful place of rest that she's entered into. Rest is believing without any doubt that God is in control. If you are doing and not being, then you're missing the point of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He came to set people free into a rest, into a peace. In the story of Mary and Martha, if you'll look with me in Luke 10:38-42, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what He taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing, and she came to Jesus and said, Lord, Doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all the details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will never be taken away. It's so easy in this world and in this time of turmoil in our country, it's so easy to get nervous about the details. We've got a higher power, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father God. He rules and reigns regardless of what's happening on this world. We read the end of the book and we know we win, so we live in a place of trust and of rest, knowing that God is in control, that he's going to do what he wants to do. And yes, we pray. Yes, our prayers can change things, but we don't strive in that prayer. We rest in the peace of God that passes understanding. Martha was a doer, getting all anxious, stressed out, and frustrated with the current situation, the temporal things, the things that were screaming for her attention. And you have to be careful about the things that scream for your attention. We scream when we think we serve a God that doesn't know our name. We get agitated when we think that God's not in control and that we're not his kids, but he knows your name. And I want to tell you something. With everybody in here today, we could have this place full wall to wall. But if the look on one of my children's face turned to anxiousness or fear, I would notice. Because they're mine. Because I know them. We serve a God that knows us. Scripture says that he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Scripture says that he's moved when our hearts hurt. So he comes to us, but he knows us because he knows us because he's God, first of all. But when we nestle up to him on a regular basis and make him first, he knows us and we know him and we know his heart of rest for us because we've chosen to be with him. God notices the people that choose to be with him. Martha, it says she was distracted, and there's so much to get distracted from. But he said, look at your sister, Martha. She's chosen the important thing. In one version it says, she's chosen the good thing. She's chosen just to be at my feet. She's aware that there's a dinner to be served. She just knows that's not what's important. She knows that being with me is what's important. I could just feel the thoughts in Martha's mind because I've had them in mine a million times. How will it look if I don't do this? If I don't serve these men? You know, it's a men-driven society. The women are a little more than slaves. But Jesus, and I just thought about that this morning, how Jesus just opened the conversation to include women. And so here he is in the home of Lazarus, who he's raised from the dead. Here's Jesus, you know, and he's included these two ladies into his crowd. He's extended them an invitation to come closer. And he extends that invitation to all of us to come closer. Mary, however, had stopped to savor her time with the Lord's presence to refresh and renew herself. If you look through Scripture, what you can find about Mary, Lazarus' sister, is that she's also the same woman that in Luke, I believe it's chapter 7, that she came into a close place with Jesus. It was pretty much a boys' club. But she came in there and she brought her most priceless oil, her most priceless perfumed oil, and spilt it on him and anointed him. And the men in the crowd were saying, hey, Jesus, I don't know if you know, but she's a sinner woman. Have anybody else in here been called a sinner woman? I remember as a child walking in a church and they said, that is a sinner woman. And I just felt so ashamed, and I was like, I haven't even done anything. I'm like 13 years old, never even kissed anybody, never touched anybody, never held anybody's hand, and it's just this old, ugly religious crowd. And they said, it was me and my cousin walked in at the same time, and they said, now those are sinner women. Well, we could hear it. But I get a little bit from that awful experience, I get a little bit how Mary felt. She's going to do something extravagant for Jesus. She's going to anoint his body for burial. She's bringing the most costly thing, because the truth was that she was a sinner woman. The truth was that she had screwed up very badly. The truth is that we all have. But because of all that had been forgiven of her, she knew something bad was coming, and she brings her perfume, and just, the scripture says it was worth a year's wages, and she just splashes it on Jesus. She anoints him, and then she's crying so hard because of the debt that's been forgiven her. And all the religious people start to say, with all their rules, you know, that perfume is worth a lot of money. That could have been used to feed the poor. That her story is one of the few stories that's in all four of the Gospels. And they say that it was Judas in one of the passages that was saying that. He was stealing out of the pot. Religious people always say something and do something different, you know? But Jesus said, you may not know her. This is the BK paraphrase. You may not know this woman. And you may not understand what she's doing, but she's coming close, and you guys are all concerned with the rules, and you're all distracted and anxious and moving about in this horrible haste, but yet she's brought the most priceless thing she had and come into this circle. And because of this amazing act of worship, because Mary's decided to come near to me, because she's not cared. We just get a little paraphrase of, there's no way, scripture says if they recorded all the acts of Jesus, there's no way. There wouldn't be books enough to put it. So you just wonder the rest of the conversation, but I can just imagine him saying, you know, you guys are just jerks. Here she is. I don't know about you. He tells a parable in Luke, and he says, if one servant comes to you and they owe you money and they can't pay it, and another one owes you much more and they can't pay it either, and you decide to forgive both of them, which one's going to be more thankful? And they said, well, the servant that you forgave the most money. And they said, this is what this is about. That's why this woman is anointing me with the very best that she has. All her time, all her energy. It's amazing the wealth that was in that bottle. But it was so much more than a natural wealth. It was a wealth that came from Jesus. You included me in your circle. I was a sinner woman, Lord. I was without hope. I was dying. There was no way for my spirit to rest. I'm afraid of being stoned to death. I'm afraid that the things that I've done will catch up with me. But Jesus, you've invited me into your inner circle. So what would be good enough for you except for the very best thing that I have? Scripture says she poured the oil on him. She anointed him. And her tears were flowing so fiercely that she washed her feet with his tears. And I think she had a BK moment thinking, oh crud, I forgot a towel, and here I am spilling tears all over Jesus's feet. What am I going to do? And in true female fashion, she made do with what she had. And she took her beautiful hair, it says, and she began to dry his feet, because she knew his worth. She knew that someone, a sinner woman, someone with issues, someone with big problems, that Jesus would call her near into a place of rest. Can you imagine all the running scared she had done? Women didn't get away with anything, you know? When they were stoning the adulterous woman that had been caught in the act of adultery, she wasn't caught by herself. Can't have adultery by yourself. Got to have somebody else. It said they snatched her out of the act of adultery, which probably means she was not clothed, put her in the street, and were getting ready to stone her. And Jesus interrupted their party and invited her to come near. The scripture says that he began to write in the sand. My grandfather always said he was probably writing all the names of all the men that had slept with her and said, really, you got a stone? You got a stone? Anybody else got a stone? The crowd began to disappear with whatever the mystery is that he wrote in the sand. And he said to that sinner woman, quote unquote, the person that religious people would say could never be good enough to get to God. Jesus came and ripped up their rules, brought a new way of living. The blood that he shed on the cross was enough for her sin and my sin, and I'm thankful because I'm a sinner woman too. And he brought us all, men and women, near. No matter what we've done, he invited us near. And he told that woman, when everybody dropped their stone, he said, "Hey, I don't know what you know about God, but here I am. And I don't condemn you either. I'm just offering you a new way to rest. I'm offering you a peace that passes understanding. I'm offering you a love that will overwhelm you and cause you not to be afraid anymore." That's what grace does. That's what God's love does. It calls us to a place where we don't strive. I love back to the story of Mary putting the perfume on Jesus and wiping her feet with his hair. Jesus said, "Hey, you religious creeps, y'all didn't even offer to wash my feet when I got here. But this lady's doing something so powerful. She's actually anointing me for burial. And she's washing my feet, which you neglected because you were so anxious and busy with your rules. You neglected washing my feet. And she didn't even have any water or a towel. But she came to me and she gave me what she had. Her tears, her worship, and her hair." And because of this extravagant act of worship from who you would consider the least of these, the story of this woman anointing me today will be heard throughout the world every time the gospel's preached. Because he cares. He cares about us coming to him. He cares about us being in him. My kids have helped me so much with this particular thing, because to be honest with you, I was raised with a bunch of rules. And I homeschooled my kids, so Pastor Les did most of it. I'm not going to lie to you. But we homeschooled our kids. They're thinkers, you know. They've always been able to read well. They caught on really fast. I think they got Les's genes. But anyway, the brain cells. So they're big thinkers. And I remember at a young age them starting to question, because we gave them the freedom to do that. They started to question, "Why do you do this? Mom, why would you say that? Is that really what that person said? Mom, you're not," you know. And they would just challenge the thinking. And they made me want to go deeper. They made me want to look deeper into grace. I remember saying, "You know, this grace theology has just gotten all out of whack. It's just way overdone." And I don't think grace is a permission to sin. I really don't. But I remember my son saying, it was several years ago, saying, "Do you ever really run out of grace, Mom? Is it really not enough? Are we really supposed to be doing it this way?" And it caused me to realize that some of that religion had so creeped into me that I'd become a judge of others instead of a judge of myself. Jesus told the religious people, he said, "You're worried about what everybody else is doing. Why don't you just get right with me and come to me and worry about that log in your eye instead of the splinter in somebody else's?" And I can't say I've completely obtained, but I'm further than I've ever been, I think, in God's grace and in learning to rest in him. Because even just last year, I would have sat and watched the news and been a wreck and disturbed everybody in my house and everybody I knew. When I went to the grocery store, I would have probably rehearsed all the horrible things that were happening in our world today. But I'm thankful for a small win in my life this week, that I just found that place to rest in God and to know that he's calling me higher to rest. The world may end, absolutely. Things may get bad, absolutely. They may get better. There will be some good things in our future, I can tell you that, because God is good. But here's the deal, no matter what happens, I'm invited to rest in a God that sees and knows and hears and scans the big picture of things, and he shelters me and he loves me. There's an old song, it's called In the Garden, it says, "And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. That's where he's wanting us to be. Just walk with him. Don't fill your mind with all the anxiousness. I even said to my son this week, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I said, we were talking about the riots when it first started, and I was still in that anxious mode, and I said, you know, my grandmother told me, if you don't have any kids, but if you have to have one, only have one, because the world's going to get bad, and don't have more than one, whatever you do. He said, did she really say that? I'm like, yeah. Because she was anxious about what's going to happen. I personally believe that as a Christian, we ought to have a lot more kids and raise them up to serve Jesus and repopulate this earth. I'm not offering to babysit if you have 10, though. I'm just telling you. But anyway, God has that place of rest that no matter how many kids I have, he's got them. No matter what this world looks like, he's got me. He's covering me. Scripture says that he covers us with his wing. That's such a beautiful picture of a mama bird just spanning out her wing and bringing her children close. His call to us is come close and rest. All you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, that was never his plan for you. When you receive grace by accepting Jesus as your Savior, you received unfathomable love that is smeared all over you. And your Father God knows, and he sees. Scripture talks about the lilies of the field. I probably can't find it because I'm so off track with my notes. But he says, look at the lilies of the field. They're not toiling. They're not spinning. But they're just clothed in the greatest beauty. And the reason is, BK paraphrase one more time, the reason is because they're resting. They're just being. See, even your work becomes play when you're just being. When you're just acknowledging God, loving him, and drawing near to him, even the toughest task becomes lighter and easier because you've invited God into the equation. My little neighbor today will hold her little girl, not knowing how many more kisses she'll get. Not knowing how much longer she'll get that special smell that only Kaylee has. But she entered into a place of rest, a safe place. Instead of making that baby's days on earth tumultuous and crazy and hectic, she settled in. Because here's the deal, guys. We're not promised tomorrow. We got to get this right. Just the resting thing. We got to cease striving and know that he's God. We got to quit being anxious and worried and running to and fro. I know some of you have jobs, we all have jobs, but I'm saying, I know that some of you have stressful jobs. But I promise you, if you make that moment to get in God's presence, that even that stressful job starts being in him, and he begins to be in control, and he begins to flow out of you into that situation and bring peace and rest. That's the kind of God we serve, a God that calls us to rest, not be lazy, but to rest. Get in him, stay in him, and let him navigate us through this crazy world we live in with peace, with love, and with compassion. People that are being in Christ, people that are taking time to go near to him, that are at his feet, they're not the ones screaming and hollering. They're the ones resting in peace, in the peace of God. They're the ones whose kids will learn to live in that peace and not be comfortable outside of it. Are you weary from the struggles of life? God wants to give you his peace and his rest. The way that we learn from him is to be intentional about knowing him through prayer, reading the word, and connecting with people that desire to know Christ. I pray that today you will ask God to fill you with his peace, to take your heavy burdens and give you the rest that comes from knowing he's a good father that wants to carry your burdens today so that you can breathe and rest in his provision. Father, I pray a blessing over everyone that's under the sound of my voice. God, I pray that those that are carrying heavy, heavy things, God, that you would take the weight off of their chest. And Lord, that we cast that onto your shoulders and we ask that you would take it, God, and that you would cause them to breathe freely again. God, that they would just Breathe out the heaviness and breathe in your love, your rest, and your peace today. In Jesus' all-powerful name.